Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
One thing you might miss, or not miss, is Triple BEE in South Africa. So it's been quite contentious. And whereas, of course, it was an absolutely, well, required that we addressed the past and that we found ways to rectify what was BEE or Triple BEE the answer? The President Cyril Ramaphosa has defined his new broad-based Black Economic Empowerment Advisory Council as a landmark, historic, and a game changer. We wanted to get some perspective. Sandile Swane, who is a political analyst, joins us this morning. Thanks for doing so. How are you this morning?
Jolly good, thank you.
Good. So let's just start off with the basics around a Triple BEE. There was a requirement. This was the system that was implemented. Has it been successful?
It has not been successful. And we need to be very careful because there's a lot of unfortunate and uninformed propaganda around Triple BEE. The issue is that BEE is an economic phenomenon first and foremost. So you need to look at the economic numbers and what they tell you about what was supposed to be achieved, what was achieved, and therefore what you conclude about the result. Now, right. Let's start there.
Right.
So some of the most basic ideas, I'll put two on the table. One would be that the Western Cape, for instance, would have been under apartheid, a colored preferential area. So meaning that job preservation, if you like, in the Western Cape would have wanted to favor colors versus Africans, as opposed to Africans, as an example. That in the skilled categories and high income occupations has not changed. They have not been able to change that. So so when you take it on a broader basis in South Africa as a whole, today, what are the chances of an African, whether male or female, to get a job, just to get a job? What would be the wage and salary differentials in the workplace? What are the chances of an African getting a higher paying job? In all those categories, the affirmative action policies of South Africa have not achieved the results. So for an example, you will find that the labor participation factor or labor participation ratio among white South Africans would be in the region of 90 something percent. Among African, at its highest, it was about 66%, which means just to participate in the labor force, it has not happened. But we then need to ask ourselves whether there is a fundamental question when you want to deal with this, because this is the same problem that Verwoerd had to deal with when he started this whole problem, because we could be back to where Verwoerd started if we're not careful. When Verwoerd started this issue, there was, and William Hart, who was a big professor at UCT, wrote a very big book about this issue. When Verwoerd started his idea, it was the poor white problem that he had. And more specifically, the white Afrikaners who could not participate effectively in the labor market and compete more specifically with Africans who were exposed to to the English-based Christian mission schools. So they were more in agreement.
Right. No, it's just very interesting I wasn't aware that that was the rationale. I mean, I knew that there was job reservations. I wasn't really sure the context.
Yeah, so it was to solve the poor white problem. And the poor white problem was more acute and chronic, in fact, in the white Afrikaners, amongst the white Afrikaners who could not compete in the labor market Africans.
Okay.
And the Africans were competing effectively in the labor market because they attended the English-speaking
missionary schools. Right.
So the missionary schools. So the mine owners and the miners of owners of industries who were largely English were more in accord with these mission school-educated Africans and easier to employ them and so on. So far forward. So those people were the ones in jobs. Those Africans were the ones in the jobs, actually, in the well-paying jobs and so on. And these ones were excluded because they didn't know the English language and all sorts of So now, where we are now, and this is the core of the problem. The core of the problem is that Fervoet could not think of how to expand the economy and actually include those who were excluded. So at some point, literally, it is a one-for-one replacement. Remove the African from the position and insert a white Africaner in his place, whether he knows the job or doesn't know the job. Get rid of that one and keep the salary, get inject the salary into this one. Because the South African economy has not grown since Mbeki left office, Thabo Mbeki, that is. It has not grown. So the people who are in jobs have had to keep the jobs. On top of that, the white South Africans, on average, have got 3 more years of education than the rest of the population, more especially the Africans. It might even be bigger, at least 3 more years, which means that if I'm a well-educated African and I've got my trick, I'm competing with a white person, the white person will be having a three-year diploma or a three-year degree. So that type of thing and the basis of discrimination in the South African economy, also primarily because the economy itself has not grown and developed a very huge appetite for labor. Discrimination has remained in place because those who are in office will stay in office and put in their cousins, put in the other white people, and it remains like that. So it, so when we talk about the failure of affirmative action, the failure of BEE, it is principally, in the main, the failure of the economy to grow and to develop in the first. So when you appoint a BEE council, actually what you need to be appointing are people who are going to take this economy into the region of a 5 to 15% GDP growth rate per annum in order to have a very large appetite and a huge throat to swallow the labor that is in surplus in South Africa.
But isn't there something like a triple BEE set up for failure in the sense that if you're running a business and you know you want to or you need to be compliant, then it becomes window dressing and the rather than moving forward in a way that grows your business? Because obviously the idea is, as you've said a number of times, to grow the economy. And we not seeing that, isn't that partly because this type of system is taken advantage of on both from both sides? So I need to check a box, I go and do that. I'm not looking to really comply, I'm just complying on paper. And somebody else says, oh, you know what, somebody else needs to comply, I'll be that guy. I don't want to really work, but I just want to be part of that business. So as a result of which, you've got almost a form of window dressing rather than honest growth in a business and in the economy.
Yeah, that argument is actually superficial and unnecessary, actually.
Why?
Because, you see, this is the reason. During the time that Thabo Mbeki was growing the economy very fast, the discrimination in the economy was actually declining, measurably declining, meaning that I have the labor, I have the customers. Now, I don't have time to be playing gimmicks. I need to get these goods to the market. So the forces from the customers and the demand in the economy is saying, get people into jobs. I need to deliver these orders. Whether this person is colored or whatever, I'm just absorbing labor.
Okay, I see where you're going. You're saying that if the economy was growing, then that becomes a completely irrelevant conversation because we need people, we need to employ people, we need to upskill people in order to thrive.
Actually, that is just the absolute truth. When Eskom, by the way, some of us don't even know that Eskom is one of the companies that started affirmative action during apartheid and in defiance of the apartheid government. Because when Eskom was in a major turnaround, one of the strategies that they employed was this electricity for all. Electricity for all did not start with the ANC, it started during apartheid, it was after 1985, from 1985. And affirmative action, it may not have been called affirmative action, but the introduction of Black people to all positions at ESCOM, senior positions, any type of position, because ESCOM was on a very aggressive growth path. They just needed the most talented people, regardless of complexion, shove them into positions and get the job done.
Mm.
So the luxury of window dressing and so on happens when the economy is already exclusionary in itself, because when you limit the size of the economy, then it becomes a cartel, it becomes a cabal, it becomes an exclusionary thing, because it's so small, it is for the elite boys who are there. And if there's anything that's going to be elite in South Africa, it's going to be white, because the elite is white in South Africa. But if you then say the economy is growing at a frightening rate, at a breakneck speed, then the issue of whether you're window dressing or not is to your disadvantage, actually, if you do that, when the economy is ramming at a breakneck speed. So that issue of window dressing is a superficial and unnecessary argument. It's actually an insult and a provocation to South African people.
Interesting. Okay, there you have it. Sandile Swana, political analyst. We chat to him fairly frequently. We'll definitely continue this conversation. It's an important one to have, whether it makes us comfortable or not.